Malone saw Stephanie toss an ember toward the guard, then pound him with the shovel. His gaze shot toward Cassiopeia as she calmly fired the air gun. She had already ticked off one shot as he saw only three men standing. One of the remaining guards reached for his thigh. Another jerked and groped at the back of his jacket. Both collapsed to the ground. The last of the short hairs at the altar saw what was happening to his compatriots and whirled to face Cassiopeia, who was crouched 30 feet away, the air gun aimed directly at him. The man leaped behind the altar support. Her shot missed. Malone knew she was out of darts. He felt the gun in his hand, but the blast would alert not only de Roquefort, but also the brothers outside. So he raced across the church, planted the palms of his hands on the altar support, and as the brother came up, gun ready, he pivoted and used his momentum to kick the brother into the floor.
"Not bad," Cassiopeia said.
"I thought you said you didn't miss."
Cassiopeia and Stephanie disarmed the downed brothers.
"My reflexes haven't had to do that in a while," Malone said.
"Good to know they still work."
"How did you do that with the lights?" Henrik asked.
Malone smiled.
"Just up the voltage. Works every time."
But something was wrong. Why hadn't any of the brothers outside the church reacted to the exploding lights?
"We should be having company."
Cassiopeia and Stephanie came close, guns in hand.
"Maybe they're out in the ruins, toward the front," Stephanie said.
Malone stared at the exit.
"Or maybe they don't exist."
"I assure you, they existed,"
a male voice said from outside the church. A man slowly crept into view, his face shrouded in the shadows. Malone raised his gun.
"And you are?"
The man stopped near one of the fires. His gaze, from deep-set serious eyes, locked on Jeffrey's sheathed corpse.
"The master shot him. With no remorse."
The man's face clinched tight, and the lips mumbled something. A prayer? Then he said,
"I am chaplain of the order. Brother Jeffrey called me too, after he called the master. I came to prevent violence, but we were delayed in arriving."
Malone lowered his gun.
"You were part of whatever it was Jeffrey was doing?"
He nodded.
"He didn't want to contact de Roquefort, but he gave his word to the former master."
The tone was tender.
"Now it seems he gave his life, too."
Malone wanted to know, "What's happening here?"
"I understand your frustration."
"No, you don't," Henrik said. "That poor young man is dead."
"And I grieve for him. He served his order with great honor. In the final months of his life, our former master set into motion a complex chain of events. He spoke to me about what he planned. He told me who our seneschal was and why he'd taken him into the order. He told me of the seneschal's father and what lay ahead. So I pledged my obedience, as did Brother Jeffrey. We knew what was happening, but the seneschal did not. I was told not to become involved until Brother Jeffrey requested my help."
"Your master is below us with my son," Stephanie said. "Cotton, we need to get down there."
He heard the impatience in her voice.
"The seneschal and de Roquefort cannot coexist," the chaplain said. "For the good of the Brotherhood, only one of these men can survive. But my former master wondered if the seneschal could do it alone."
The chaplain stared at Stephanie.
"Which is why you are here. He believed you'd bring the seneschal strength."
Stephanie appeared not in the mood for mysticism.
"My son could die thanks to this foolishness."
"For centuries, this order survived through battle and conflict. The former master simply forced a confrontation, but he wanted that battle to count for something, to end with something. So he pointed them both toward the great device. I doubt if he really believed either would find it. He knew, though, that a winner would emerge. He also knew that if de Roquefort was the winner, he'd quickly alienate his allies, and he has. The deaths of two brothers weigh heavily on us. All agree there will be more deaths."
"Cotton," Stephanie said, "I'm going."
The chaplain did not move.
"The men outside have been subdued. Do what you must. There will be no more bloodshed up here."
And Malone heard the words that the somber man had not spoken. Below us, though, is altogether different.